Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Kid Rush Radio. Chance Rush Radio.
Hey, good evening, Chance Rush, coming to you March 13th, 2016. I just love this weather. It's so crazy. Supposed to be 82 degrees. In the morning, right now, I believe it was raining and then quit raining and then started raining and quit raining. Only in Oklahoma. A lot to cover this evening. I want to give a couple shout-outs to just all the Indian basketball teams throughout the United States. Congratulations on getting to the big dance. And just want to congratulate all the athletes all year, all season long. Did a great job. I want to thank all the communities for backing up their athletes and traveling with them and going to the games and doing what we do during March Madness. Big shout out to my Oklahoma City Thunder, just because I'm a Thunder fan. Also to the Oklahoma Sooners playing this Friday in Oklahoma City, I believe against Santa Barbara or something like that, but they made it to the big dance. Kind of a disappointing season this year. We're not a team that goes north and south. We shoot the ball outside too much, and we don't play defense like we should. We let teams back in ball games like we're not supposed to. An up and down season for the Sooners, but we're in the dance. We're a 2 seed, so we'll get off that subject because it is frustrating. This evening, being offended in Indian country starts in tribal communities. I'm a proud American Indian male who loves God, my family, my mission. And in saying that, I also have a modern perspective of life. I stand up for what I believe in and stand strong when the situation hits a soft spot. We all get our feelings hurt. We all do. We got to be able to work through that. We can't put too much stock into petty little remarks and opinions of others. I didn't spell that right. Let's not focus on another person's ignorance, but rather our own true colors. Thank you for joining us tonight. It is being brought to you by Bird Inc. Lori Bird, very, very special thank you to you for allowing this online radio show do its thing. If it wasn't for your sponsorship, it would be very hard to do this program. I know that this program reaches hundreds and hundreds throughout Indian country and throughout the United States. Thank you guys for all tuning in. I want to thank Lori Bird personally for investing in this online mission here, this online outreach through the radio airwaves. So if anybody ever needs any type of service when it comes to cleanup, when it comes to construction, commercial development, you name it, go to birdindustriesinc.com. There you'll find it's 100% Indian owned by the one and only Lori Bird. Her entire staff doesn't just do business, but they're also about the people. They also give back to the people. I know 2 weeks ago, they had a huge powwow up in South Dakota, and they brought the best of the best in, and it was sponsored by Bird Inc. So very special thanks to you, and I just want to wish you the best in all your traveling and all your outreach. Lori is the daughter of Gordon, also the sister of Jackie. Jackie Bird, I know, world famous, travels throughout the United States. But Lori is just doing some amazing work. So, again, I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for this program being powered by Bird Inc. Last week we talked a little bit about standing up about all these epidemics that are going on in Indian country and speaking up about it. And just, you know, trying to get in the positive frame of mind. There's a lot to talk about this evening. You know, I saw something go on to my Facebook and scroll down to the video of Donald Trump. And I'm not going to make this political tonight, but you guys, we have to vote. We have to quit complaining, quit griping about how people are treating Indian country. Just make sure you vote. And if you are going to gripe and if you are going to complain, make sure that you go, you have everything on point before you gripe and complain. A lot of it isn't griping. A lot of it isn't complaining. A lot of it is actual facts of what a redskin is called. A lot of it is just actual facts of how we have been treated and how we're continuing to be treated in tribal communities. But that does not take away how we treat each other. We don't treat each other like we should. And I'm somewhat embarrassed. I know that there's probably some non-native listeners out there, you know, and you kind of look at our culture as beautiful and amazing and, you know, just a remarkable thing. And it is. I want everyone to know that I'm proud to be American Indian. I'm proud to stand up for what I believe in. I wouldn't be doing what I do today, and I'm very, very thankful for it. And I think whether you're Native or you're not Native, you need to be who you are. You need to be proud of who you are. You need to be proud of what you stand for. And you also should want to make a point to carry yourself in a respectable way for everybody, not a respectable way for just Indian people, not a respectable way for just black people, not a respectable way for just white people. But you need to stand up and present yourself and be respectable for all races, all nationalities, all whatever it may be. As Indian people, I could be ticked off about how I've been treated. I could be ticked off about what was taken from me. But at the end of the day, Creator just didn't make Indian people. He made other nationalities. He made other religions and other, differences. You know, he allowed that. And here's the thing. God created everything, but he gave it to man. He gave it to man. I've got ridiculed a lot because, you know, I'm a Christian. And, you know, then I got people who are telling me what Christians did to Indian people back in the day. And they did. They did. There's no justification on how missionaries used Christianity to try to change Indian people. That is true. I believe that. But that was man. That wasn't Creator. That wasn't God. That wasn't, my maker. That was man. Same man that probably died and is no telling where he is or whatever it may be, you know. Hitler was not a god. Saddam Hussein was not a god. Osama bin Laden's not a god. Barack Obama is not a god. Donald Trump, I want all you all to know that he is not a god. You know, he's got to wake up just like us, and he's going to pass just like all of us. But in saying that, we have to make it a point where, we have to make it a point where we know the difference between what we should stand up for and what we should just not even stress or worry about. You know, there's so much that we get offended by, and we have to go back to Creator. You know, this is just getting out of hand. You know, I'll be honest with you guys, the stuff that's going on with Trump and what he's saying, like I said, I'm not going to talk about it. Just go to my Facebook, watch that 6-minute video of his idea and his outlook on, how America should be. What I'm saying to my people is let's get right with each other. Let's treat each other good. Let's treat each other with respect. Let's quit with all this petty stuff on, just goodness grief, I was teaching this past week to a bunch of seventh graders in here in Tulsa. When I'm not on the road, I take some days and I'll go to school and fill in for a teacher. Some of y'all call it subbing, but I call it filling in because subbing sounds kind of cheap, and I'm not cheap. I go in there with an expectation. I go in there with a demand, you know, giving respect, but I also go in there expecting respect at the same time. But in saying that, you know, there was a couple incidences that happened. I'll break them down to you. I'll break them down to you because, you know, this can probably go back to how it is in our tribal communities. Man, I really do wish it was like the old day. You know, it's always good to be able to talk to my uncles and cousins and aunties and, you know, how they bring some of their children up. And it makes me feel good. You know, I miss that old way. You know, but at the same time, a lot of times we get, you know, Indians who put down Indians and, you know, want to be disrespectful to each other and way, you know, all that goes on in our tribal communities. I wish I could tell you that it's not true. You know, I wish I could tell, you know, everybody that Indian people were just so, we just have a sacred culture. I believe we have a sacred culture, but there's a lot of drama that we have in Indian country, and we need to get rid of it. Half of our setbacks would be if we just got along with each other, right? How do you fight addiction? You don't send them to detox. You pray for them. You check on them. You love them. You look after them. You care for them. You talk to them. You hold them accountable. How do we get rid of diabetes? How do we get rid of whatever it may be? We pray for them. We encourage. We support. We step up. How do we, you know, get rid of domestic violence in our tribal communities? What we do is we honor our women. We love our spouses. We play our part in a marriage. We play our part in a relationship, whatever it may be. We don't dictate. We don't control. We just lift each other up. We quit talking about each other. We quit putting each other down. If we did all those things, I'll tell you what, Indian country would be in a better place. And then we would also realize, like, man, you know, we complain about some petty stuff, man. You know, I'm not going to come to this meeting if I don't get gas money. You know, if we get a gas voucher, I'll come. Or I won't go listen to them speak unless they feed us, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's just, it's not all like that. I want you guys to know it's not all like that, but it's there. You know, people think that they can act a certain way, and it's just, so anyway, let me get into my little story here. So, teaching over here at Union, and yes, they are the Redskins. I don't wear anything. I don't have a Redskin shirt. I don't, if I wear anything, it's always the U or the Union, you know, and forgive me for that if some of y'all have a problem with that. But, you know, as I clocked in and I went up to my classroom, you know, I came across some real good students, and I came across a lot of defiant students. I came across a lot of young people who just automatically have their shields up, ready to go toe to toe with a teacher. But at the same time, I see some of these teachers, the way that they talk to these, the way they, you know, they don't, they're not real teachers. I guess they just got teaching certificates. And if someone from Union is listening to this, I really do think there needs to be some type of training on, you know, not just cultural sensitivity, but also on class sensitivity. There's kids that you have, you know, who may have it great. There's kids that you have that, you know, may need a little help. But at the same time, you parents got to quit sending these kids to school with an attitude. You know, you need to check them at home. And they go to school to learn. They don't go to school to be babysat. They go to school to learn. And that's one thing that I teach all my children is you get in those classrooms and you're there to learn. You're not there to, you know, talk back to a teacher. You're not there to scream at the top of your voice and try to be cute. You don't do that. You know, those cute days are kind of over. You know, after you grew up from being a little baby, now you're a student, you're an athlete, you're a role model. You know, now it's time to, you know, get to business. But there was a teacher every day. She came into my classroom and she said, I needed you to write this kid's name down because she talked back to me. And the next day, you need to write her name down because she's being disrespectful because I told her to throw that apple away, and she kept eating it, and she kept walking to class. I mean, it was just like, okay, first of all, I saw the first incident. And the first incident was this young lady was walking down the hall, and the teacher walked up to her, stuck her hands in her face, and started doing the whole, you know, like barking sign with her hand. And she's like, you need to stop talking and get to class. And the young lady said, please don't stick your hand in my face. Okay, well, the teacher came into my room and said, write her up because she's disrespectful. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to write her name down here, but I'm going to explain what happened, you know. And she did. She did have her hand. She had her hand up in that young lady's face, you know. I wrote the girl's name down, but I also explained to the teacher who's coming back what happened. Some people just are entitled. Some people just like to use their authority. And, you know, when you're entitled and you like to utilize your authority for your own, for your own interests, that's a setback. It really is. That's a setback for you. So if there's anybody out there listening, or if there's anybody out there that knows somebody that is going through this, just know that, you know, that's a setback. And, you know, that's just one story. But what I told these kids is they were in class, and I gave them the benefit of the doubt. You know, hey, get your work done. And they got their work done. They started raising their voice. They started being cute. They started being whatever. And I set them down. I said, hey, guys, listen. You guys are worse than an alternative school. This is supposed to be a regular classroom. You kids have a standard. You kids have an obligation. You have priority. There's presence among you young people for you guys to be acting this way. I said, listen, I don't know what your teacher, how she is with you and how you can treat her, but you're not going to treat me that way. I have a job to do, and I'm going to do my job. And the reason why I was able to explain all this is because I have standards. And it's okay to have standards. By no means did I use my authority for my benefit. I use my authority to be the teacher in that classroom. And that's where we need to be at in life. You have to use your authority because it's your responsibility. Not use your authority because you want to dictate people, because you want to be in control, because you want someone to, you know, have to answer to you. I used my authority because I was a teacher today, and that was my duty. But what I told these young people, I said, your attitude today and how you conduct yourself and how you carry yourself is going to go into how you are, how you're going to be financially. It's going to lead to how you guys are going to be economically, how you're going to be perceived in life. You know, That second day, that young lady, you know, she told me, she said, I ain't scared of her. I ain't worried about her. She don't scare me. And I said, you know what? It's not about her scaring you that should make you want to be mindful and respectful. And then I went on to tell the kids this. And if there's anybody out there listening, maybe you need to hear this too. This is what I told the kids. And I said, You hear those sayings, in order for someone to respect you, you have to respect them. Now, this is how some of you guys out there, some of my listeners tonight, that's how you think as well. As long as I'm going to respect somebody, I mean, if I want them to respect me, then I have to respect them. It's like the whole earn thing. And then there's others that say, well, I respect people who respect me. That's predominantly most of people in life. If you're listening out there, you know what I'm talking about. You have that mentality of, you know, I only respect people that respect me. What I told those kids, I said, it's not either one of those ways. You should always want to be mindful, and you should always want to be respectful to everyone. Be mindful, be respectful to people who don't even respect you. Because here's the thing. They got to take that up with their life. They got to take that up with their creator. They got to take that up with how they're going to be treated or what they're going through. That's not up to you. That is not your responsibility to make somebody respect you. If somebody wants to respect you, cool. If somebody doesn't want to respect you, cool. You got to be mindful. You've got to be respectful. And that's one thing. I will tell you this. I never like to brag about my kids, but I'll tell you this. I make sure that I say my part and play my part as well as my wife, and that is you're going to be respectful to people. Bottom line, end of it, you're going to be respectful. What we teach them is most of the time people aren't going to respect you back. And you also, you know, what you do is you make sure you have a stance, though. When someone's not going to respect you, you make sure that you have a stance. Your stance needs to be to the point. It needs to be, you know, don't waste time on it. There's a young man the other day. I was telling this girl what assignment she needed to do. And this little seventh grader said, "Are you certified?" And I said, "No, I'm not certified." So he said, "Well, how do you know what's best for her? How do you know she needs to do that?" So I said, "Young man," I said, "what's your name?" He gave me his name. I wrote his name down. I said, "Head of the office." He's like, "Why? What?" I said, "You're not going to talk to me like that. I'm not going to waste my time on you. I am the teacher. I am told to do this job. I'm reading the handbook. Get your stuff. Don't come back here. It's time to go." Well, he quickly backed down then was he wanted to intimidate. His stance was he wanted to be cute. His stance was that he wanted to be, you know, had the upper hand with me. And my stance was simple. I'm the teacher. I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm giving you a chance. I've respected you all the way up until this point, and I just don't want to waste my time anymore. Take your stuff, here's the note, go down to the office, deal with it there. I don't know if that was the way to go about it, but I didn't dance around it. That's one thing that we do a lot of in Indian country, and I'm not talking about our tribal gatherings. I'm talking about we dance around petty stuff that don't even make any sense, petty stuff that don't even matter. It's so crazy. There's people out there that actually don't like somebody because of the good work that they're doing. I've got plenty of friends. I've got plenty of friends who are doing great jobs, who are doing successful jobs, that are doing wonderful things. And they're getting ridiculed for it. They're getting, you know, someone's always got something to say, you know. Man, I wish I could use some names, but I can't, you know. I will use one name. One time in college, you know, I got a really close buddy. I got a really good bro, and, you know, somebody that I know I can count on, and I know that would always be there for me. He's a councilman up with the three affiliated tribes. And his name is Corey Spotterberry. He's the councilman for the Twin Buttes community. And, you know, one day we were talking in college, and we were in his car, his Silver Bullet, and we were driving. And he told me one day, he's like, "Chance," he's like, "why did this happen to us? You know, why did God let it happen to us? We were massacred. Our land was taken. We were sent in buses and shipped across the country. You know, why did it happen to us? And you know, he had such a valid point. He did. He had a great point. And it even makes me think that today. Why did it happen to us? You know, you look at some of these people, you know, and we're supposed to get over a lot of things. You know, like all these rallies, all these Trump rallies, and you know, all of these willing and dealing and banks, and you know, all this stuff, you know, all this you know, I mean, and let's just be real, all these shooting by cops on the news, and things that go down, they're let off the hook, they're not found guilty, everything is justified, everything is justified, everything is justified. And I sit over here and I say the same thing that Corey is saying, is why did these things happen to us? Okay, it did happen to us. And we were ran through the ringer. We were abused. The massacres happened to us. Boarding schools happened to us. We're still here. And that's a lot simple. I mean, that's so easy to say, is that we're still here. We gotta quit with this petty crap. We got to quit turning on each other. We got to quit putting each other down. We got to lift each other up. We got to feel good. We've got to encourage. We've got to be better people. I was at a basketball game. I took my baby girl to a basketball game about 2 weeks ago, and I watched two of my little cousins at the game. One was sitting on the bench, and the other one was playing as a freshman. And I was so excited that my 8-year-old got to meet both of her aunties. And that's one thing, you know, my Aunt Mickey, if you're listening, that's one thing that my baby girl is always bragging about. Every time she has an ORU shirt on, she's sitting there telling her friends, hey, my relatives play at ORU. Every time she sees an ORU shirt that someone has on, which is Oral Roberts University, where my two cousins play ball at, she says, hey, that guy had an ORU shirt on. That woman had an ORU shirt on. And I was telling somebody about that. I was like, man, you know, I'm just so proud of my little cousins and that old school that they have in them, that grassroots that they have in them, that old schoolness, that politeness, that godliness that these young ladies have in them. I'm just so thankful to my Aunt Mickey and her husband George, just the way that they brought these young ladies up. And they come from a community. They come from Anadarko, Oklahoma, where I just love Anadarko. I love the people in Anadarko. I love the Sullivan family and how they witnessed down there in Anadarko. My buddy Pat Moore and his whole crew, you know, Peeps, James Kelly, the Kelly family, all the hard work that they do, the outreach they have for Indian people down in Anadarko, the love. You had these epidemics that happened down there, and now everybody's talking about how Anadarko is just this godless place, or this place that's just full of shame, or whatever it may be, whatever the media depicts of them. But my little cousins come from that community, and that's a whole nother subject. So I'm sorry about that, but let me get back to my nieces, my little cousins here. Right away, someone said, well, are they better than the Schimmels? Can they play like the Schimmels? Are they as good as the Schimmels? We have the Schimmels. Hey, you know what? I don't want to compare. I don't want to compare the Beatty sisters to the Schimmel sisters. Why? Because they're all four doing something great in Indian country for our people. All four of them are ambassadors for our people. They're all taking stands for our people. They're all sharing the message. They're all of them. They're showing that they can be on that level. So why do we have to compare? Why do we have to say this family is better than this family? We got to stick together. That's got to be important to us. You know, and going back to like what Corey was saying when we were in the car when we were going to high school, at the end of the day, we bounce back. And a lot of you parents, don't let your kids talk a certain way to you. You put your foot down and be a parent. If you put your foot down and become a stronger parent, we wouldn't have to worry about these petty little situations that go on in the home. We got to learn to be getting along with each other. Man, we bounce back. I think we bounce back because we were spiritual. I think we bounce back because we knew our culture. I think we bounce back because we had an identity. We knew who we were. We knew where we came from. We knew what we stood for. We identified with each other. You know? There was no government at first that said, hey, you know what? Let's go perform Sand Creek. Let's go perform Meeker. Let's go perform Battle of Little Bighorn. Let's go perform, you know, the swamp battles. Let's go do all that and let's try to take them all out and then give them funding. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We won. Indian people, listen to me. We won. We won. That's why you are where you are today. That's why you're standing up today. We won. Be grateful for that. Quit worrying about who someone is and what someone's not doing. Quit worrying about being better than somebody. We won. So after we won, other epidemics started because anytime something happens great, something great happens, the opposition is going to be right there. I want you to think about EBTs. I want to talk to you about, oh man, cool. Hold on. We got to go here. Hold on. Oh man, this is awesome.
Chance Rush, how you doing, brother?
Hey, hello? Good evening, brother. How you doing? Hello?
Man, how you doing?
How you doing?
Are you listening? Are you with me? Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I'm glad that you called in. Yeah, man, I'm glad that you called in.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. We got the one and only DJ in the building. DJ, man, what's going on up there in North Dakota?
Not much, man. I'm actually just was calling in, tuning in, listening to the topic tonight. It's a very interesting topic, and I always enjoy your talks and your visits every time you come home, you know, back up north here in North Dakota, and I always love your encouraging words for the young people, the youth, and I've always inspired. You know, I did a lot of work with you in the past, and you know, watched the way you adequately speak to the kids and people, and you bring that energy as soon as you come into the room. As soon as you come into the room, when you were talking about, you know, working with young people and being a teacher, it's all about how you present yourself to them. You know what I mean? Like, when you come in the room, you demand respect in a positive way. You know, a lot of times people use that authority to saying, I demand your respect and you're going to listen to me. But your respect is a little bit different as you walk into the room and you're speaking. You're coming in as like, I respect you. You respect me. And it's like it's a good feeling. It's a good respect where when you walk into a room and the people and the kids and the youth get that vibe from you where they feel safe, they feel happy, and they feel like, you know, they can learn something today. And so I really enjoy your topic today. You know, like I really love young people and, you know, in sports and school and education. We always try to, you know, make sure we're always encouraging them to do their best. But, you know, sometimes we have to look at ourselves first of how are we presenting ourselves to the young people. If we present, they feel and feed off of our energy, our spirit, our soul, and who we are. They feed off of that. As soon as we walk in the room, they feel it. So they know, they can tell who's, you know, who's here for them or who's here for, you know, the wrong reason or just being here to be a teacher because I need a paycheck. You know, they feel it. They see it. They understand it. And they all have feelings. And I was just really listening to your topic, and I thought, I was like, wow, this is really inspiring, and it's a good topic and getting me thinking. You know, I'm actually on my way back from Minnesota. I took the little cousin, Joe Johnner, to his AAU tournament, and I was sitting there thinking about how much we have to sacrifice to get our young people to where they need to be in life. You know, it takes a lot of time, money, effort, and a lot of mentoring, and a lot of a lot of being there every single day for them. You know, we have to put a lot more extra time into our young people so that way they can constantly succeed. But at the same time, they got to want to do it. You know, they really got to want to do it, and they really got to inspire to push themselves on all levels. And I was just, listening to your topic, and it was just really, really good to hear your voice and your words. And just, it gives me a lot more insight to think about, and I really appreciate it. Really appreciate your words today, brother.
You know, we're joined by DJ Two Bears from Fort Yates, North Dakota. Standing Rock, he won the state basketball championship with the Mavericks. Went off. What year was that? 98?
98.
Yeah, 98, yep. Man. That was the championship team. And hey, DJ, let me ask you something real quick. I know you're real busy. First of all, we want to give Joe a big shout-out. Joe's a young freshman playing at Bismarck High School at the powerhouse in North Dakota, and he plays as a freshman. And, a lot of people, get behind him, support him, and back him. You know, but then you have those out there who are trying to compare him to somebody, or he's not this person, he can't do this, he can't do that, and whether it's and it's not just non-native people, it's also native people, who are kind of, throwing that stuff at him. But let me ask you real quick before I let you go, because I know you're real busy. You've done a lot with your life out in the East Coast, meeting with hip-hop artists, meeting with the president, meeting with John Legend, meeting with just different individuals. How much time are we wasting when Indians are putting Indians down? I mean, you're right there in a little, you come out of little Fort Yates, but you've done so much. You've done way more than probably someone in the city and who's been trying to do this their whole lives. But how much time are we wasting? What direction are we going in Indian country if we continue to put each other down?
You know what, that's the hard part about Indian country is, I guess one thing that I'm going to get back to, I always have to answer the question, around about the way and telling stories, but, sometimes it's really hard for young people to understand what it is to be off the reservation or to travel a lot. And myself, I got caught up into thinking, the reservation is it. Like, beyond the borders of the reservation, that's it. So everything that revolved inside of those the boundaries of the reservation, that's all I've known. So whatever that is that we are teaching ourselves and presenting ourselves as Indian people in the reservation, it's a learned environment. It's a learned environment. It's a learned mentality, and that's what's taught. And so I always encourage young people to travel. Travel, see the world, get another perspective. And so, when you have that another perspective, and you're looking from the outside and looking in, you see a lot of unnecessary energy that's being used against our own people. And it's really, really hard because we are conditioned that way. I'm not against a lot of things, but a lot of people have a lot of excuses, lots of excuses because of ourselves. And I see a lot of doctors and lawyers and people who are aspiring to do great things. They want to come home, but a lot of times people in our own home communities don't support each other. Why? It's because it's like, I need to get ahead of you. And if I can't get ahead of you, then I don't want you. I'm going to talk crap about you. Why? It's because it's a learned behavior. And so a lot of times we are wasting so much time, so much energy, trying to outdo somebody else, the next person, when really we're supposed to be outdoing ourselves, setting day-to-day goals for ourselves to be better. I have a couple of young people I text on a day-to-day basis. Every morning I'm like, hey, good morning. What's your goal today? I have them set small goals every morning. I'm like, what's your goal today? Like, hey, Keyshawn, what are you going to do today? Are you going to help your teacher? What are you going to do to empower yourself to be better? Have these kids and young people think out of the box. And so when we're sitting here bickering about ourselves because we don't know what it is, a lot of our young people and our families don't know what it is to be off the reservation, because we have to remember there's another world beyond the reservation. And it's just a revolving circle. And so sometimes it's hard for me to sit on the outside and to look in and try to explain to people, we're better than that. We're better than this. Let's not make no more excuses. There is no excuses. And a lot of times, a lot of these people, they really, really want to think, no, the government did this to us. The religion did this to us. But we can't make those excuses no more, because of the simple fact that we are teaching our kids to think like that. We are teaching the revolving will for our young people to think that they could have the same attitude and not to aspire to be great. And so until we can continue to break that cycle, it's going to be really, really tough for our young people to aspire to go on. And that's why we're starting to see a lot more Native Americans and young people in sports becoming lawyers, doctors, and everything, because they're starting to think out of the box. And we have to let them think out of the box. We've got to challenge them in every single way, from the smallest goals in the everyday morning that we're going to meet to the biggest, largest goals that we have. But at the same time, we have to work together as communities and people, reservations, and it's really tough. It's a big dream to say, hey, we need to unite. But if we unite, if we're all going to unite, what are we going to unite for? How are we going to prosper? What are we going to do with when we unite as people? A lot of our people want, we want our land back. All right, are we ready to even have our land back? Do we have any kind of resources, or what do we have to offer to take care of that land? We can't take care of our home. We can't take care of our home and ourselves in that revolving circle that we have right now. We have to continue to teach ourselves, and I really do believe in prayer is a powerful thing. But it's an amazing thing to see all these young people stepping up and taking over the challenge and doing so much. And I see the future of our generation taking over, and it's amazing to see, because I do receive that. I do really see that evolving circle that we created on the reservation, changing. It's a really positive thing, brother. But I really like to thank you for, having me call in today, and it's really good to hear your words. And the best thing we can do is just continue to encourage these kids, and even if we don't say one word to them, they feel and see what we're doing. Social media, internet's a big thing. What we post, what we talk about, what we do, how we interact with everything, they see it, they know. That's a one good way, a good door, a good avenue to change that revolving circle that we do have within our borders of the reservation.
And that was DJ Two Bears, man. Have a safe trip home, man. Tell Joe, God bless, man. Thank you for your words, and that's so important that you talk about. It's like Indian country has to be ready. You're right. That's DJ Two Bears, man. I want to thank you, DJ, for tuning in. I'm just so proud of you, man, and just keep up the good work. We'll make sure that we have DJ on the air again. That's going to do it for tonight, man, but I want to say this. We cannot, by any means, change the way people think, change the way people feel. You can only do it on your own. So tonight, if you're listening, you want to make change, you want to make a difference in your community, it's got to be you. You've got to be the one that is willing to make the sacrifices to benefit other people. I'm so very grateful, man. I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. Join me next week, the 20th, from 9 to 9:45, is what I bring you. Make sure your true colors belong to you. I'm Chance Rush. Love you guys. ChanceRush.com. This message was brought to you by Bird Inc. Thank you, Lloyd Bird, for giving me the opportunity. God bless you guys. We're going to see y'all next week. Thunder up. Boom a sooner. All you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Spring break. Thanksgiving, but that's in a couple months. It's Rush!